meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing there. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is just a few weeks away, and we would love to have you come and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with us. We exist to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, our family, our church, and our community, and we need all the help we can get to bring him all of the glory that he deserves. So if you are new to the area, we'd love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. Now, if you look around at, if you're a church shopper, you probably won't end up at Merit Assembly of God. But if God speaks to your heart and says, you know what, you can be a blessing here, and they will be able to be a blessing to the community even better, then we may be just the church that God would strategically place you in to make an impact here in Brevard County. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. They've been at Merit Assembly God longer than I have, and I've been there since dirt was new, so that's not quite true. It was more middle-aged when I got there. So, they have decades and decades of experience in all things concrete, from the strength of the concrete, the way that it needs to be prepared for, the process, the hard work that goes into getting a solid pour done. And Brother Anderson, and then now Greg, his son, runs that, and they've got a lot of projects that they have done through the years. They've done projects not just here in Brevard County, but other areas as well, and they could put their expertise, experience, and hard work ethic to work on your project, get it done quickly, get it done at a great value, and get your project off to a solid start. 321-536-5804. We thank them for being a friend of the Refresh radio program. So I'm going to return to 1 John chapter 3. I'll read verses 4 through 6 just as a recap, and then we will go on to verses 7 through 9. So verse number 4 of 1 John 3 says this: whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, capital H, is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. And so when one of the things that I said we were going to be looking at in chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4 of 1 John was this principle of abiding, and how important it is that we know that how to remain in Christ. And so we started off dealing with the word needs to abide inside of us, that the anointing teaches us to abide in him. The anointing which you have received from him abides in you. So it should be an anointing that remains. It's not a fleeting, coming and going, hit or miss type of anointing. And that anointing teaches us to abide in Christ. And so there is this mutual abiding that takes place. His word abides in us. We abide in him. The anointing that he gives to us abides in us. And so we see that is something that is absolutely in the will of God. And in verse number 4, or verse number 5, we see that whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So if we abide in him, there is going to be a transformation in our nature where we do not want to sin because we've seen the reality of who Jesus is. So I remember when I was a teenager, we were bowling back in those days, and I was keeping score, and digital or electronic scoring was just coming into being in the bowling alley. And I remember my dad was up there, and he, you know, rolled his ball, and I said, "Are there 6 or 7 pins still down there?" And he said, "You mean you can't see that?" And I said, "No, I can tell that there's some pins down there, but I can't see exactly how many there are." And I believe, you know, whatever I guessed was wrong. And the next thing I know, because my perception was off, my parents realized that I needed something that would correct my vision. And so I ended up getting glasses, have worn glasses ever since, tried contacts, never could get used to poking myself in the eye. I tried the soft, I tried the hard, I tried the semi-hard. It just was not something that worked for me. But through the years, I have discovered that it's not just the ability to see, it's the ability to see correctly that is really important. And this year marked the 10 years since I'd had a detached retina, and I've stood upon the promise that God gave me during those early days of being able to see clearly. And my vision is not perfect in that eye, but it's pretty good. And I can see without much issue. So between my eye that's been repaired and the eye that hasn't been repaired, because it didn't need to be, I can do pretty good in perception. Well, how do we know if we are perceiving Christ the way that he wants to be seen? And I would tell you that there are a lot of people who are not seeing him clearly. There's something interesting here. Verse number 5 says, "And you know that he was manifested," or revealed, "to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." And so if we abide in him, we do not sin. We do not keep on sinning. If we stumble, if we fall, we want to get out of that predicament as soon as we possibly can. So there is no desire to continue to do that. Well, many people are very accurate in perceiving that Jesus can take away our sin and take away the penalty for our sin, the guilt of our sin, and can create in us a whole new spiritual dynamic. I want to drop down to verse number 8 because it says there, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." We'll address that later. "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." And so not only was Jesus manifested or revealed so that we could spiritually see clearly that he came to take away our sins, not just our acts, but the desire and the longing. Now we see that Jesus was also manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word there for destroy can mean to untie. So it was used of untying the donkey that Jesus would ride on Palm Sunday. It was also used of loosening Lazarus when Jesus called him out of the grave. But it can also mean to destroy the things that had us anchored or tied or restricted to just doing whatever our sin master told us to do. And so if you have ever been around animals, if you tie an animal up, or if you chain it, and so I'm thinking kind of like the Old West days and things like that. If you watched any old westerns, they'd ride their horse into town, they'd go over to the hitching post, and they'd just toss the reins over the post there, and that the animal would stay there. Well, the reason that was possible is because the animal had been broken of its desire to just pull away from that post. So the animal, the horse, has plenty of strength to get away, but it had already experienced in its life a time when it used all of its strength and all of its resources to pull away from a situation like that where it could not get away. And now, because that desire inside of it has been broken and destroyed, now the person who's riding it could just literally lay it across the post, and the animal's going to stand there as if it is powerless to pull away, because in its mind, the power of the bond is overpowering its ability to understand that it could just walk away at any given point in time. I want you to know that Jesus has come to destroy the chains that sin has held upon us. We need to understand that he has been manifested to take away our sins and to destroy or render useless the bonds that left us hopelessly thinking there's nothing we can do about this situation. You may be listening today and you may have a stronghold in your life, and you say, there is nothing that I can do. I have tried everything to break the power of this. I want to encourage you to abide in Christ, to feed yourself on the Word of God, to allow him to renew your mind, because there's never been a chain made that Jesus can't break. So, Jesus comes and takes away not just our sin, but he takes away our obligation to sin that our sin nature held us in, and he comes in, he abides with his Word, with his anointing, and we're abiding in him. And I'm going to tell you something, the house gets really crowded. So there's a lot of things that come, and it's that are this abiding in one another. And so if we actually see Jesus as he is, and we know him as he wants us to know him, he's going to liberate us from the compulsion to be a person who sins and keeps on sinning. So verse number 7 says, let no one deceive you. Deception is such a powerful tool. That's why I want to encourage you to get your day started off on the right note, because if not, you can deceive yourself into saying, later on I'll have more time, and there will just be more distractions that come up. Trust me, I know from experience. We need to put God first, and if we do that, then it's going to have a very liberating experience in our life. So here in verse number 7, it says, he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. So it talks about the practice or the doing of righteousness, the condition of righteousness, or the acts of righteousness, because we are in a position of righteousness because Jesus is righteous. And so if we see him as righteous and that he's abiding inside of us and he is creating in us a desire to live a lifestyle that is the lifestyle he would lead. So as I'm sitting here, let me just read this. The word practice means there is a person who practices and keeps on practicing. It's not just an occasional event. It is something that they are doing on a regular basis. It is making or it is producing. And it's a lifestyle. It's not just an occasional accident or an occasional setback. It's something that a person does intentionally, habitually. And so God wants to set us free from that death style so that we can live the lifestyle that he always wanted us to live. So if we see that he is righteous, then we will be people who put into practice righteousness. That is the legal justice and the moral righteousness that God has for us. And he says the reason that we will live like that is because we find ourselves in a position where we have been declared, qualified, and made righteous because of what Christ has done inside of us. See, there's a question, there's a difference of opinion that people have, and the challenge goes like this. Are we sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we're sinners? So, I would tell you that Adam and Eve became sinners because they sinned. Every one of us since then, with the exception of Jesus, were born sinners, and God is coming to set us free so that we don't have to sin. He changes the condition of our spiritual nature to where no longer are we inclined to sin, inclined to rebellion against God, but we are inclined to live the way that Jesus wants us to live, the manner in which he lived. So I believe that God wants to change the desires, the cravings of our life. So I love Mexican food. I have eaten so much Mexican food. Well, let's just be honest. I love food. I do. There's very few things that I don't like. There are a few, but I avoid those and, you know, leave my portion for other people who are very fond of them, and there are, and I don't judge them. Hey, you've got taste buds too. So my cuisine of choice is Mexican food, and I could eat it three meals a day. I really could. I've tried to cut my food consumption down to two meals a day, but there's been days when I've eaten Mexican food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so I tell people that if you look at my genealogy, you will see that I'm a little bit of a Heinz 57. I'm a mutt. I've got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little here, a little there. I just got, you know, a very Heinz 57 style makeup in my genealogical record. I said, but if you ever do a test on me, and if what you eat is what you are, I'm going to come back I'm going to come back Mexican. That's how much I like Mexican food. So I tell you that because my default is to eat Mexican food. And I've got decades and decades of experiencing it. But what I found in the late 2024, and I discovered it by accident, was that there were certain things in the Mexican food palate that were causing me some physical consequence. It wasn't that I was eating too much food. It was that something that I was eating was having it was causing parts of my body undue problems. So what do? Do I just look at it and say, oh man, that's really too bad. I guess I should just keep on doing this. I guess because I have loved this for so long to where, you know, when I was in high school and college and a young adult, I could eat six tacos. I could eat a plate of nachos. I could eat dessert, drink two or three Pepsis and get up the next morning and have lost weight. That's the way that I used to eat. I haven't eaten like that in decades. But I could say, well, you know, this is always the way I've been. Well, that's not what I did. I said, you know what? I need to make an adjustment. And so I can still eat the Mexican food flavors, but there's ingredients that I now avoid, primarily flour tortillas. And made some lifestyle adjustments to go along with it because I want to live, not die. I want to be healthy. I'm not a person that says, oh, well, you know what? They make a pill for that. So I'll just go ahead and continue to, you know, exacerbate my problem and I'll just take the medicine and boy, that'll really help. Well, I would rather make the adjustments that are necessary. And so Jesus has come along, and the reason I told you all of that stuff about my eating habits was not so you would, you know, get a chuckle about my lifestyle, but to say too many people have the approach that I was just talking about with their sin. Well, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic's home, and therefore, you know, alcohol is just a stronghold in our family that nobody's been able to get the victory over, and so I'm just stuck with this. This is my chain. It's the thing that has me held on here. Well, I'm here to declare to you today, whether it was alcohol, whether it was drugs, whether it's immorality, whether it was pride, whether it was anger, whether it was greed, whether it was immorality, whatever it might have been, Jesus came to break those chains so that we are no longer prevented from being a practitioner of righteousness and we were obligated to be a practitioner of sin. Jesus came and showed us that he is righteous, that there is the power of God within us for us to live the way that Jesus lived, to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God, desiring and delighting to do the will of God. So, it is describing here a habitual lifestyle. So, I want to caution you, though, because the mind is very, very easy for the enemy to manipulate and say, well, you know what, just this once won't hurt. Well, I will tell you that there was a basketball player. He was the number one drafted player in the NBA. He never got to play a minute in the NBA because he had some people that surrounded him that they were celebrating him being drafted. They were celebrating in a a manner that was not legal. First time, he overdosed, and he died. There are a lot of people who have thought, well, nothing bad could happen. It's only going to be this one time, and the next thing you know, there's not the opportunity to undo what you've done. Don't believe the devil's lie that, oh, well, it's just one time. That's not that big of a deal. Sin causes harm. It causes injury. It damages our relationship with the Father. We want to be practitioners of righteousness. Verse number 8 is the opposite side of that coin, and it says, he who sins, and again, that is a continuing operation, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And so we see that sin is never condoned by God. We live in a day and time where people are looking to make things that God's word has prohibited, they're looking to make those things acceptable. And I will tell you, we can change our social standards, we can change our social mores, but God's word is going to stand forever. Sin has always been, and it always will be, and is currently sin, because man doesn't define sin. God does. And God will never tell you to sin. But the devil will constantly encourage you to sin. Now, he, you know, back in the day, there was a TV show, and the line was, the devil made me do it. Well, I want you to know, as a believer, your authority comes from Christ. You have been forgiven. You have been reconciled to the Father. The devil can't make you do anything. Don't agree with him when he tries to get you to do something. The Bible says if we submit to God, we will resist the devil and he will flee. The key is make sure that we submit to God. When we do that, we will not entertain the devil nor his suggestions. So God bless you. You go out and have a day of victory. See Jesus as he truly is and say, God, make me live like that. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.